1980, Ray Conway led the first of 11 passion dramas. I think he told me in 80 and 81 and then every other year after that. This will be the 11th presentation of some form of the passion, the message of Jesus Christ that we celebrate from Christmas and Easter and throughout our lives. We don't know who may come here. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But our prayers and for the invitations that we've given, we've asked God to fill the house with those who need encouragement, those who need Christ, those who need salvation. I can't express how much these folks have worked to prepare themselves. Not for their glory, because most of us are behind the scenes, but for the glory of Christ. And so today, we're asking you as a church body to commit in your prayers daily from this moment forward for God's Spirit to fall upon what happens in this house in the presence of Jesus. Let's pray. Mighty God, what a awesome opportunity you've given us and blessed us with. What a mighty leader in Ray to be able to put all this together in his mind and then to lead all the different rehearsals and directions. But today we lift up the name of Jesus. We want your name to be magnified and glorified and praised and all that is said and done. This is a week of passion for us as we share this. But may it be a week of glorification to God through all that takes place. May those who are lost and don't know Christ come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. May those who have backslidden and fallen away and have lost their thrill and their hope regain the presence of Christ in their life. May this church burst forth into this community to tell the world about Jesus Christ, whether it's here or in Oaxaca or anywhere else. God, may your will be done. Lord, we praise you. Today we dedicate ourselves, we make a commitment to do all we can to honor you. As a church, we commission this week. It's a week of power, a week of glory for the kingdom of God, not for College Street Baptist Church. So I want to thank you, Lord, right now in advance for what's going to happen this week, for the transformation that will take place, and we sense the presence of your Holy Spirit working in us and through us in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're in the book of Luke. We're in chapter 8. We are continuing with this theme that I told you comes from Romans 10:17. Where he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I've reminded you each time that this hearing is not a casual listening to a message that Jesus might have been teaching on a hillside. Many people came wherever he was once the word got out, and they listened to what Jesus had to say. Not everyone that listened and heard him obeyed him and followed through with him in their lives. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God causes us to go toward causative action, responses, to do something we're supposed to do in this life for the kingdom. That's what this is all about. Now, this week in my devotions, I've got this thing that I'm doing with part of my band of brothers, and I'm working through it, and one of my devotions was in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. I'm not going to read all of that, but in that particular devotion, Paul said that there are some things in our life that we have to put to death. Now, when you start counting those things, you start questioning whether or not you're ready to put those things to death or not. And that's what I call spiritual warfare. We're in the midst of spiritual warfare every day. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, but it's there. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10 are divided into two categories that Paul talks about. These are things that need to be killed. Earthly nature is one of them, where he lists sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. And then he says all of these things are idolatry. We live for these things rather than living for the right thing. And so they become our God, in essence. That's why there's so much evil in this world around us. But there are other natures in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10 that he talks about. The natural sinful desires of our life. Anger. Rage. Malice. Slander. Filthy language. And he ends with a couple of statements about lying. And he says, you've got to take this off and put on the new. You've got to kill these old ways of life and put on the new ways of life. And I call that spiritual warfare. Now, there's probably more messages on spiritual warfare, putting on the armor, all of those things. I'm not going there today. I want to stick with this particular parable about the souls. We talked about the four different souls in this parable and how the seed is cast upon them and how the souls receive them. That's one way of looking at the parable. We talked about this parable as the sower and the seed, and we know that the sower, the original sower, is Jesus Christ himself, but then he gives us that command, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost, we're to sow the seed also and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's sowing the seed, the word of God. And so that message kind of focuses on what we're to do with the seed. And then there's that third one, the fields of life that I talked about that leads us to evangelism. So let's look at it. Let's look at this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10 to start with. His disciples ask him what this parable meant. Now, we know what the parable is. It's the sowing and the seeds where it fell. And he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. Do you understand that when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now because the day of Pentecost has occurred and the Holy Spirit has come to fill us, to be the comforter, to be the guide in our life, do you have the secrets of the kingdom of God in you and available to you? If you don't know what they are, you begin a growth process to find out what they've been given to you. You don't have to earn them. The salvation you've received through Christ's blood that was shed on the cross when he died for us and then arose from the grave, he's ascended to heaven, he's preparing a place for us. That gift he's given us includes the secrets of the kingdom. But then Jesus said, but to others I speak in parables. I speak in parables. Now he spoke in parables not to keep the believers or the non-believers from understanding. He's just speaking in parables to make the story of the kingdom of God very clear to everyone who listens. Whether they hear and respond appropriate is another story or another question all the way around. He says, though seeing they don't see, and though hearing they do not understand. There was these people called Will and Ariel Durant. And for nearly 40 years, they were studying, compiling, and writing all kinds of history about Western civilization. The product of their efforts was entitled The Complete Story of Civilization. Millions of words, 8,800 pages documented, divided into 11 books. The essence of what they were trying to prove, they couldn't prove. But they tried to, and they felt like they were successful. But it can be summarized up in this sentence. They said the only real revolution is the enlightenment of the mind and the improvement of character. In other words, they were trying to say that Western civilization has progressed wonderfully, and that's all there is to worry about. Well, as we know, they said the only real emancipation, the only real being set free is something that you have, happens in you individually. And you're in control of that. And they said the only real revolutionist are the philosophers and the saints. And they were basically saying there's probably no hope for most of us. Well, in spite of whatever their misunderstanding, they did say something true. The real battle that every person in this room and in the world has is usually internal. We battle. We have a spiritual battle that's internal. You probably don't know what my internal spiritual battles are, and I probably don't know what your internal spiritual battles are. But we have them. We struggle with them. Satan comes along and he whispers in our ear, "That's not true. Couldn't possibly be. You can do what you want to do." Or he might just come out and say blatantly, "That's a lie." But Satan's going to come. And the battle's going to sometimes be internal. Real change doesn't happen until we face our lostness. And we have our lostness dealt with and our relationship with God restored. Jesus is saying here in these first two verses that the secrets of the kingdom of God can't be found in history. They can't be found in philosophy. They can't be found in economics or mathematics or science. They can't be found in government organizations or any other realm. You can only find the secrets to the kingdom of God. You can only find that in the spiritual realm by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Therefore, he spoke in parables. So let's continue reading verse 11 and following. This is the meaning of the parable, the one that we read last week and the week before. The seed that fell on all those different places is the Word of God. Those along the path, the seed that fell on those on the path, they're the ones who hear. The devil comes and takes away the Word from their hearts so that they may not believe that they do not believe and they will not be saved. It's that simple. A lot of the world falls into that category right now. Verse 13 says, those that fall on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear, "Oh man, this is new. It's like a fad." How many diet fads have you been on? It comes and it goes, but they have no root. Literally, there's no foundation. The root keeps them from going deep and being nourished by the word of God, which is the seed itself. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. Verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked. They're literally choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Now, many pastors call those carnal Christians. They don't doubt the salvation, but they call them carnal Christians. Verse 15. But the seed that falls on the good ground stands for those with a noble and good heart, those who hear the word, those who retain it, and those who by persevering produce a crop. So Jesus is going on here to explain to the disciples what he's saying in this parable. He's saying that the seed is the word of God. It is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father in heaven but by me. And it only comes by the shedding of blood for the remission of sin." And they came to understand and know that later. He said that the seed that falls on the path represents those who just do not believe. They will not believe. They're not going to believe. They're like Pharaoh. Their heart has been hardened and they are done. Unfortunately, it was their choice, not God's. That's the difference I have with the Calvinist. It was their choice. They chose not to. The seed that falls on the rocky ground, just like with the Durants, they're kind of interested. They're kind of involved for a while. They kind of know a little bit about Jesus. But in the final analysis, they have other fires to burn. They have other bridges to cross, and they have other places to go. There's more in their life than God. And that's the problem. And they fail the test of time. That's why every church in America has membership roles far exceeding their attendance. And those, a vast majority of those that are not attending here or somewhere else aren't attending anywhere else. It's just what it is. Then he says those who fall in the thorns, what I call those, the carnal Christians, you know, the thorns, what Paul's referring to that haven't died to self, haven't died to the things in their life that's causing problems. They're not all in, as Dabo would say. They're holding something back in their lives. They get choked out. Listen, one of the functions of the body of Christ is fellowship. And last night was a fantastic example of people coming together in fellowship. We had a great time. The encore guys sang songs that the kids don't even know. But we did. But I think they kind of liked the jive of it. You know, they didn't get completely into it, but you know, we enjoyed a great meal. We had the silent auctions. I was watching two of the silent auctions, and I'm not going to name any women's names, Rita and Joan, but I saw them go back and back and back. They wanted something, and it was fun watching that. But then I saw, where is Scott? Scott, he wanted something. He played a game. He waited till 7:29 and 30 seconds, because at 7:30 it was over, and he ran up there real quick and wrote his name down in the number. And we had fun with it. And then we got into that cake auction. By the way, all you folks that made cakes, men and women, but man, I didn't think I was going to get one, because I kind of set my limit, and y'all kept beating me up. I bid 30, he bid 35, I bid 40, 45. Yeah, I'm not playing that game. He's got more money. No, we had fun. And when we got through, you know, it was like, wow, this is what it's all about. We have another fellowship coming up, May 31st. It's a Friday night. It's going to be, we're calling it Game On. Game On Game Night. Folks, we need to have fellowship. Because in the fellowship of believers is where we find good ground to lean on one another, to love on one another. In the deacons' meeting this morning, we talked about so many people who had lost loved ones. Brenda Mangan's father passed away before she could get to Texas. Their funeral for him is Thursday. Keep them in your prayers. But we lifted up even those who in the past, and we lifted up people having surgery. And we talked about those that are recuperating from accidents. That's what that's about. That's what deacons do. We love people, and we reach out. Fellowship. We're not getting choked out. We're not getting choked out by the world, because we've got strength in numbers. So I want to encourage you down the road. Jesus also explained to the disciples what the good ground was all about. And he used some words. He said, the good ground, the seed that falls there is noble. Noble. You know what noble literally means? Rightly or well born. You know what Jesus said about being born? Nicodemus came to him at night. What must I do to be saved? He said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus had no idea. See, he didn't understand the secrets to the kingdom yet. But as Jesus explained it to him, as his heart was open to it, he understood it, what that meant, to be born again. Noble means to be well born. Born as Christ tells us to be born. Then he says, the good ground falls on is good. You know what the Greek definition of good is? You'll like this. It's good. That's it. Good. be good. He said, the seed that falls on good ground is, it's good. You don't have to explain it. Then he gets into action. He says, those who hear the word, that's the ones who hear it, understand it, and obey it, and abide by it, and it makes a difference in their life. He says, then there are those, not only hear it, but they retain it. They retain it. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden his word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against him. You need to read his word and occasionally memorize that word and hide it in your heart. And then he says, they persevere. They persevere. The good ground, that seed perseveres. Everybody has difficulties in their life. You know what some of ours are, and I know what some of yours are. Life is sometimes hard. And sometimes you ask your question, why? God can handle that. But they persevere. You know what the word persevere means? And this is not a joke. Persevere means to attend. To attend to something. I attend to my garden. I attend to my own business. You know, I'm taking care of it. And by persevering, I'm taking care of my witness, my faith. Yes, we make mistakes. We come short of the glory of God. But persevere. And I said here in my side notes, this is where spiritual warfare really becomes present. Because Satan doesn't want us to persevere, to attend to the Word of God, to attend to our faith. He wants us to fall away and to go away. But Christ says, come unto me. And then the last thing he says is that the good seed produces fruit. It's a productive, fruit-bearing part of the kingdom of God. But we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. And Satan attacks us on all of those fronts. Paul tells us that we must first be willing to die. Colossians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, I have died with him. When he hung on that cross, I was there too. Not physically, not literally. But he took my sins on him. He took my waywardness on him. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I died. I died when he died, once I knew what he died for. And he says, but Christ lives in me. Does he? Does he live? If we're in spiritual warfare, we have to have Christ living in us to overcome it. And Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, in the body, in the world, today, that new life I have, I live by faith in the Son of the living God every day, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Statement I'm going to put on the screen. They are. The moment of salvation only comes after we die to ourselves. We have to come to that moment of realization. I'm a sinner. My sin separates me from a holy God who's not a sinner, who is my creator, who's the creator of all things, who loved me so much that in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And I have to come to the realization that I have been on the wrong track, the wrong road, going the wrong direction, and Christ has come to turn me around. I have to look at my sin and confess it. I have to confess my sin and repent of it. And when I've repented from it and of it, I turn from it and I turn to Christ. I have died to that old way. It's gone. It's over. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 4, if anyone wishes to come after me, he's got to deny himself. He's got to die to himself. And take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me, whoever dies for me, he is the one who will be saved. Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, so then, brothers, we have an obligation. not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you will die, but not the way I'm talking about. But if you are living in the Spirit and you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And you will live literally forever, even if this body dies. You just can't die any way you want to die. You can't pretend like you're on the pathway getting trampled over and it's not your fault. You can't pretend that you're in the rocky ground and you didn't get enough to eat. You can't pretend that you're in the thorn patch and you don't know how to stop getting choked out. But if we die on the good ground, the Scripture says we will flourish, we will grow, we will bear fruit. And you know what fruit does? It bears seed. And you know what that seed does? It bears more fruit. And if you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not bearing fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, you're not connected to the vine. And I'm getting on to another message. It's a spiritual battle in our life for eternal real estate. It's what the spiritual battle is about. Satan will come along and trample on you a little bit, and you feel powerless. Satan will come along and throw the rocks at you or throw you into the rocky path, and you will feel thirsty and forgotten. Satan will come along and he'll choke the life, the living daylights out of you. But Christ comes along and says this. John 3:16, the last part. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That was Jesus who said that. So I close with this thought. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. If you will declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We're in a spiritual battle, and we cannot overcome that battle without Christ living in us. We can't overcome it if we've not died to our old way of life, our old self, and say, God, fill me with your presence, teach me every day, chastise me when I'm wrong, lift me up when I've fallen, help me every day in my life, give me your Spirit. Let's pray. I do thank you, Father, that the spiritual battle has already been won. And I have joined the spiritual army of Christ. I know that I'm a sinner. And I pray that we all know that we're all sinners. I know that we've come short of your purpose and glory and will. But I also know that in while we were sinners, you still loved us. You still cared enough for us. You endured on that day pain and suffering that nobody in this room could take or bear. As one of our songs says, you bore our cross. We should have died. Lord, forgive us for not realizing that great truth. And then make us to be aware that you've sown good seed. There's good seed sown in us. The secrets of the kingdom are not hard to understand. The way of the cross leads home. The Spirit of God leads us to the cross. So it's now our decision. Is it a pathway and hard pressed where it's trampled, carried off by birds and eaten? Is the seed fallen in rocky soil, ground, where there are no roots to get the water and the meat of the gospel? Has the seed fallen in our heart in the thorns and the briar bushes and, Lord, it's choking us out? Or like Jesus said, have we heard and heard? Have we got ears to hear? And if so, we're not going to sit here any longer and wait. We're going to step out by faith. And we're going to go where you lead us. We're going to do what you tell us. We're going to be the example we're supposed to be. And we're going to be filled with your Spirit. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. If you've never trusted in Him today, while we sing, you come down here. Let's talk about that and get you fully involved in everything we're doing. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, today's the day. Let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's stand. Let's sing. Dying to self is the hardest thing I have to do every day. I think it's the same for you. Because the flesh gets in the way. Satan starts getting in the way. Stuff goes wrong. And every day is a challenge. But in Christ, He says we can overcome the world. I hope you know Him. Pray every day. Whenever you pray, pray often. If you pray often during the day, this is going to be a very busy week, but it's going to be a glorious week in the name of Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we dismiss, we know that the spiritual battle is one that Satan thinks he's won, but he hasn't. But don't let him make us think we've lost. Help us to know you better every day, to serve you better in every way we can, and glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.